ओम अज्ञान्ति गुरंदस्य ज्ञानांजला शलाकाय चक्षुः मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। 1856 सर्वकर्माणि अपि सदा कुर्वाणो मन् यपश मत्प्रसाद अवप्नोति शाश्वतं पदम अव्ययम्। Though I engage in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. The word mud vyapashaya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there, there is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Okay. Next. So Jigna Tanvi Mataji, are you there?
Yes, Swabiji, I'm there.
Okay, you can read also?
Yes, Swabiji.
Okay, so we can take, the three of us can take turns.
Okay, Swabiji, I'll read. Chapter 57. सीतसा सर्वकर्माणि मयि सन्नयस्य मत्यपर बुद्धियोगमुक्तमचित्तान्तभव। इन ऑल एक्टिविटीज इज डिपेंड अपॉन मी एंड वर्क ऑलवेज अंडर माय प्रोटेक्शन। इन सच डिवोशनल सर्विस बी फुल्ली कॉन्शियस ऑफ मी। व्हेन वन एक्ट्स इन कृष्णा डज नॉट एक्ट एज द मास्टर ऑफ द वर्ल्ड। Just like a servant, one should act fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. A servant has no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the master. A servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master is unaffected by profit and loss. He simply discharges fully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now, one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna. But when Krishna is not present, how should one act? If one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. The Sanskrit word mad praha is very important in this world. It indicates that one has no goal in life, save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the results to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So it is.
Okay. Okay, any question or comment? Okay, next. Jigna Matri.
Translation. If you become conscious of me, you will pass all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purpose. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish will understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be kept away by the false ego of the body in the concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of the material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws, but as soon as he acts into subconsciousness, he is liberated, free from material perplexity. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, but a person who acts in the Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spirit.
Yeah. So we have to act according to the direction of the spiritual master. Then only we will attain success. So even after becoming devotees and knowing the process, sometimes we get entangled in this belief or concept that whatever we are doing really good, or maybe this is how we have to please the Lord. Actually, most of the things are according to our liking, and whatever we like, we do it, and whatever we dislike, we don't do that. So whether one is pleasing the Lord or not, because the problem is that just by performing the devotional practices, it's not guaranteed, not necessary, that one will attain the Lord, right? Because one is not sure of whether Krishna is pleased or not. So everything has to be in line, and it should be consulted with the spiritual master, and it should be confirmed from him. Then only one can actually be sure that Krishna is going to be pleased with one's effort and activity. So it is not about doing intense sadhana. It is not about doing intense service. It is not about many other things. It is just a simple process by which we can know that by pleasing a spiritual master, we are pleasing Krishna. So if we do that activity, if we follow their instructions, then there is guarantee that the Lord has pleased us. Otherwise, even one may perform sadhana, but still one may be in illusion. So it is not necessary. So even sadhana can also become illusion. Okay. So it is very important that we start following the spiritual master. So it can be the Diksha Guru and the Siksha Guru. Okay. So any comment or question on this? Okay, next. Yad ahankaram asritya nayocha iti manyase vityaisa vyava sahaste taktatistvam niyokshati. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Arjuna was a military man and born of the nature of the Kshatriya. Therefore, his natural duty was to fight. But due to false ego, he was fearing that by killing his teacher, grandfather and friends, he would incur simple reactions. Actually, he was considering himself master of his actions, as if he were directing the good and bad results of such work. He forgot that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present there, instructing him to fight. That is the forgetfulness of the conditioned soul. The Supreme Personality gives direction as to what is good and what is bad. And one simply has to act in Krishna consciousness to attain the perfection of life. No one can ascertain his destiny as the Supreme Lord can. Therefore, the best course is to take direction from the spiritual Lord, Supreme Lord, and act. No one should neglect the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the order of the spiritual master, who is the representative of God. One should act unhesitatingly to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will keep one safe under all circumstances. So, to follow the instruction of spiritual master is actually the safest path. It is the guaranteed path. And any other thing which falls below this or below the standard is not guaranteed. It is not 100% safe also. So one may act according to one's desire and whims, but finally one has to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Here, one very important point is mentioned that Arjuna, by his nature, he was actually a Kshatriya. So, whenever someone instigated Arjuna, because of his nature, he would have actually fought back with that person. So that is the reason Krishna was asking him to fight, because according to his dharma or nature, he would not be able to give up fighting, and he could not tolerate that instigation. So it was natural for him to fight. And then another important point Prabhupada is mentioning is that Arjuna was like fearing that he will incur sinful reaction by killing his own relatives. But see, that is the problem with major devotees, that they have more trust in their mind, in their conception, in their thought process of what is right, what is wrong. But actually, whatever one may think, it's not necessary that it is right. So it has to be confirmed from the spiritual master also. Otherwise, one will be misled. Okay, and so here, that's the reason Krishna is saying that if you do not act according to my instructions, then you will be lost. Right? So, and yeah, obviously, what is right, what is wrong, that is decided by Krishna and the spiritual master, because Krishna is the giver of all the results of the activities. So he is the one who decides what is right, what is wrong. And what is right, what is wrong can also become opposite if Krishna wants it. Right? So we have example of Yudhishthira Maharaj that he lied. I mean, he did not want to lie when Krishna instructed him to lie. And that is the reason he had to go to hell for some time. So now, lying is definitely not right, or it is adharma. But when it is used in the service of the Lord or for a higher cause, then that becomes dharma. So lying becomes a dharma. Okay. In general, lying is a bad principle. It is immoral. But when immorality is used in the service of Krishna or the service for a higher cause, then that immorality becomes morality. Okay, so this is, and how it becomes? Because Krishna is actually instructing us. So whenever Krishna instructs something, that becomes dharma. So that, now that dharma can also be in the form of killing someone. Okay, so ultimate dharma is pleasing Krishna. And whatever he decides, that is dharma. So right, wrong, and all these things, these are all lower dharmas. They are meant to be followed by non-devotees. Okay, but for devotees, they have to always accept the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is actually represented by the spiritual master again. Right, because we cannot communicate with Krishna directly. Okay, so any question or comment? Okay, next. Yeah, Tanvi.
Svabhavadina kaunteya dha srena karmana karsum nichyasi yam mohat karishyasi avasopita. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to you. But compelled by the work bonds of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of God. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, he is compelled to act by the mode in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord...
This is true. Actually, every devotee, they have got their nature. That nature is coming from their past karma. And so it is conditioning our self. And in order to come out of that conditioning, one has to start accepting the higher principles and cause of Krishna consciousness. Then one gets out of this mode of material nature. Otherwise, as long as we are not following Krishna's instructions, then we are always in the mode of material nature. So the idea is that we have to seek for transformation, and transformation is actually the real result of our sadhana. Okay, and this transformation comes in the form of surrendering to the Lord gradually. So So although everyone is acting according to the nature, even amongst the devotees also the dealings are morally based on the interaction of the modal material nature amongst the devotees. But when the modes are causing an interference or it is causing some kind of problems with the relationships, then Vaishnava etiquette should be followed. That should be given priority. Otherwise, the modal material nature is going to influence and the devotee relationship will spoil and, you know, one will commit offenses. Okay. So we have to be really careful, and for knowing the Vaishnava etiquette, one has to be realized. One should have knowledge. Okay, without knowledge, one cannot follow the etiquettes also. Right? So it is very important that we follow the Vaishnava etiquettes in certain situations. Okay, when there is a conflict amongst the modes of material nature. Okay, any question or comment? So I will, you know, just give some example that some devotees by nature, they are very peaceful, they are very quiet, you know, they are not like, you can say that they are very introvert. Some devotees are very extrovert. And so when it comes to having the relationship amongst the devotees, we cannot stick to our nature. We have to come out of that. And in order to come out of that, we have to follow certain etiquettes, Vaishnava etiquettes. Then only the relationship will go deeper. Otherwise, there is no meaning of performing devotional service as such, you know, in the sense of like at least one will not advance in bhakti, because even though you might be chanting the holy name and doing all sorts of things, but it will take a very long time to advance in spiritual life as long as we are attached to our own natures. But if we give up our nature for some higher cause, like, you know, for example, if a devotee is very introvert, but we know that preaching is actually the essence of our movement, and it is especially pleasing to Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if a devotee will take some effort to start preaching to people, even though they are introvert in the nature, but if they try and if they start preaching, that will please the Lord a lot. So it is, you know, basically the effort and the transformation and the desire to serve the Lord and please the Lord. and the willingness to overcome our nature or to transform our nature. That is actually very, very important. And because of that, we make maximum advancement in spiritual life. Okay? So if you are acting according to your nature, like, you know, some devotees might be in the mood of goodness. So they are very calm, quiet, peaceful. Some are very passionate and some are very ignorant of things. But if they continue with their nature, then they, you know, they can never transcend this mode of material nature. But if they are willing to surrender and transform, then it is definitely beneficial. Okay, so any comment or question on this?
Prabhuji, can you give some tips to overcome such introvertness or maybe, you know?
See, tips means, you know, First of all, you have to learn the science of spiritual life from devotees, which means that, you know, what currently you are doing, you are learning Bhagavad Gita's or Shastras from devotees, you are associating with devotees, and then you ask questions to devotees about your nature, that, you know, and you try to understand what is etiquette. Although you might be thinking that, okay, this is how I should behave in certain circumstances, but that is probably coming from your conditioning. It is coming from your past karmas, that kind of thoughts, you know, that you have to behave like this in certain situations. It's not necessary that it's a Vaishnava etiquette. So certain, you know, what happens is majority of the times, see, if you are in the mode of goodness, that is very favorable for Krishna consciousness. But if you are, especially if you are passionate and ignorant, then that is an obstacle to advance in spiritual life. Even mode of goodness can become an obstacle many times, because one becomes very complacent and satisfied. But we don't want to be complacent and satisfied. We also want to continue our enthusiasm, maintain that for a long time. So, and then obviously we have to balance enthusiasm as well as patience also. And for that, so some devotees are very impatient in their nature. Some are very patient, you know. So it does not mean that, you know, we become complacent or we become over-enthusiastic about certain things. It has to be a balance of both things. And a desire to transform. So first of all, you should know. The first step is that you should learn Shastra, or you learn, you know, you should gain knowledge from devotees, and then once you know what is to be done, how it should be done, then you should start thinking about implementing that. Okay, and that's how you will be able to overcome your nature. If you never heard about what is right, what is wrong, or if devotees never tell you about that, then how will you know that? Because you will not be able to know. So the Shastra is there. The Guru and the Sadhus will conclude, they will provide the conclusion of the Shastra. Okay? And that's how we will understand what is to be done, what is not to be done from the Guru and Sadhus. Right? So this is how we understand what is our nature, how is our nature, what particular category, mode of nature we are in, and what are certain higher causes and principles that we should follow and give up or overcome our lower nature. Okay, is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, any other question? Okay, yeah, very, very important verse, 61st.
Okay, bro. Yeah, I will read it. ईश्वरः सर्वभूतानां अर्जुन तिष्ठति ब्राह्मण्यं सर्वभूतानि यत्र रुचानि मायया. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the vengeance of all living entities. No one figured as on a machine made of material energy. Perfect. Arjuna was not, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of the Godhead, or He Himself Krishna, as a localized super soul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past needs, but the super soul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of the living entities are directed by his super soul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the super soul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of the body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in high speed motor car goes faster than one seated in slower car, so the living entity's driver may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of the body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. The individual is always under the law of control. But one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So the Supreme Lord is the ultimate sanctioner and reminder, okay, of activities. And as we discussed earlier, depending on the modes of material nature, the free will is also exercised to that degree. So a person in the mode of goodness will exercise more free will compared to the person in the mode of passion and ignorance. Okay. Any comment or question? Okay, next. Tam eva sharanam gaccha sarva bhavena bharata tatprasad param shantim sanam prapyasi shashvatam. O sign of Bharata, surrender into him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. A living entity should therefore surrender into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but in the end, he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, Rig Veda 1:22-20, as Tat Vishnu Pranamam Adam. So this is a very, important Shastric intention from Rig Veda for our question, the question that I had given, the 14 questions. So this is one of the Shruti statements, that Tad Vishnu Paranam Paramam Padam, which means that the abode of Vishnu is the highest goal. Right? So it's an indication, it's a hint given here. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramam Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasi Cham Ridhi Sanvishto. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, so this recommendation that one should surrender unto Super Soul, sitting within, means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Person of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already accepted, been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He is accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma Param Dhamma. Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Person of Godhead and the Supreme Abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narad, Asit, Deval and Ras. Okay, any comment or question? Are you all able to finish your assignment?
Prabhuji, you have to start doing the assignment.
Yeah, you have to start, I know. Okay. Jigna Madhuri, are you done?
Prabhuji, I am almost done, because this week actually me and Chris both had a viral infection, so I couldn't finish, Prabhuji. And I have a couple of queries also, so I will WhatsApp you, Prabhuji.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, at least by next week, you can submit.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, next verse.
Text 63. If you take nanam guryat guryataram maya vinil yaltad ase sena yathichasi tatha kuru. Thus, I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. He also discloses knowledge of the Super Soul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the word Yathesasi Tatha Kuru, as you like, you may ask, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender onto the Super Soul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Super Soul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna has been directly ordered by the Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entity. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes to the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, the same thing is reiterated here also. Yeah, so the important point here is, you know, this verse actually indicates that the Supreme Lord is not the, he does not interfere with anyone's free will, so he is not a dictator. Okay, he gives that because he is independent and we are also independent to some degree. So he respects that independence and he does not interfere with that. And that is the reason Krishna is actually giving that freedom to Arjuna to decide what he wants to do. He is not forcing him. Okay? So this is the difference between our philosophy, you know, which is the Vedic philosophy, and other philosophies. Because other philosophies means, you know, they say that if you don't follow Jesus, you go to hell eternally. If you don't follow Allah, you will go to hell eternally. But this Krishna consciousness philosophy or Vedic philosophy, Sanatana Dharma, it is giving choice and freedom to all the living entities to decide and bear the consequences for their actions, to take responsibility for their actions. Okay, and that is the real meaning of free will. Because if you force someone, then you are actually depriving the person to make choices, which means the free will is gone. Right? So this is a very logical and very loving philosophy, you know, very accommodating philosophy. And it can also cater, you know, like this can cater to all different types of religions also. Okay, so Krishna accepts everyone. There is no one, Krishna never says that I will put the living entities who do not follow me to eternal hellish condition. Okay? So the Lord is extremely, infinitely merciful. That's the reason our Vedic philosophy is actually the most complete and glorious. Okay, any questions? Yeah, next verse.
Verse 64. Sarva guhyatma mam huya har sono me paramam vaja har hito sri me dhrimam si dhridamiti vakte yame te hito. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the super soul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of the knowledge, the surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the ninth chapter, he said, Man Manaha, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by common men, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of the knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities.
Okay. Next verse. So this is the most confidential part of knowledge, meaning that he is asking Arjuna to surrender to Krishna, to the form of Krishna that is most complete, okay? Not to any other forms of the Lord, which means not to the incarnations or the avatars, but to Krishna himself. Okay, next. Okay, so this is also very important verse, 65-66 and all. Man mana bhav madbhatto madhyaji mam namaskaru mam eva shasi kaunteya satyante pratijanaya priyasi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail, I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. The most confident part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will suddenly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the power of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands, carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feather in his head. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on the original form of God in Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to the other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multiforms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Vara, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most potential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Yeah, so this is actually the most confidential knowledge which is revealed here. And it is not about surrendering to Krishna as a Bhagavan. It is basically to surrender to Krishna in the form of his Vrindavan Leela. Okay, that's what Prabhupada is mentioning here at the end, the last purport. That these words stress that one should honor his mind upon Krishna, the very form, with two hands carrying a flute, the blue is bird with beautiful face and peacock feathers. This is the Vrindavan form of Krishna. So we know that Vrindavan form is superior to Mathura and Dwarka form of the Lord. And so by focusing on the, or meditating and concentrating upon the Vrindavan form of the Lord, one attains the highest result. And it is the most confidential revelation also. Okay? So this is the meaning here. And so here actually that, you know, although it seems that the Lord, Supreme Lord is speaking here, but actually the meaning of always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Basically Krishna is meaning that me in the form of Krishna of Vrindavan, like that. Okay? Any comment or question?
So Prabhuji, no other form is accepted.
Huh?
So like Jagannath form or no other form is Krishna Bhagavan is accepted. Mm-hmm.
See, everything is acceptable by the Lord. Nothing is rejected by the Lord. And the Lord reciprocates according to the devotee's level of desire and surrender to him. So if one is a devotee of Lord Ramchandra, then the Lord will reveal himself in the form of Lord Ram. Okay. But here he is revealing the most confidential knowledge to Arjuna because he is a very close friend of Krishna. And but obviously, now for example, you know, if like, see, if you want, you have a, you know, you take a train ticket for, you know, from Andheri to Bandra, okay? And so you get down at Bandra, but the ticket is valid up to Dadar, right? You'll get, I think, you get ticket up to Dadar. So Dadar is actually a more superior destination, or you can say it is more far destination than Bandra. And so similarly, Churchgate is, it is the farthest, right, compared to Dadar. So you, if you take the ticket for Grant Road, you anyways you will get ticket to Churchgate, right? So when you take ticket for Mahim, oh sorry, if you take ticket for Vilaparla, then you will not get, you, I think you will get the ticket till Bandra, okay? But you will not get a ticket till Churchgate. And if you take the ticket for Churchgate, then all other stations are included in that. Okay? So similarly, now if it is the devotee's desire which place they want to get down. So they, whether they want to, but you have got the ticket. So it is like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us the ticket to worship Krishna of Vrindavan. Okay? But depending on the devotee's desire, they will get the, you know, corresponding result. So if someone is a devotee of, like, you know, Hanuman, you know, so he was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he tried to ask Murari Gupta to become a devotee of Krishna, he was not able to do it because Murari Gupta was incarnation of Hanuman and he was naturally a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. So, but he could not become devotee of Krishna. I mean, obviously, when we talk about Vishnu and Krishna, it is one and the same thing. So, devotee of Ram means devotee of Krishna also, obviously. But the devotee wants to be with Lord Ramchandra. That is his main object of worship. Okay, Lord Ramchandra is his main object of worship. Similarly, Narasimha, Vara, all these avatars. But Krishna's form, his qualities, his pastimes, they are supra excellent. From nothing, there is no comparison with Krishna's form, activities. Obviously, we can say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even exceeds Krishna. You know, we can say like that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he came in the form of a devotee. So that way, Krishna's form, pastimes and everything is the most complete. So Krishna is complete in Dwarka, he is more complete in Mathura, and he is most complete in Vrindavan. Okay. So so what happens is, that is the reason the devotees of Krishna are also the highest. They are most advanced. Devotees of Krishna in Dwarka, they are advanced. Devotees of Krishna in Mathura, they are more advanced. And devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, they are the most advanced. Why? Because just as Krishna has his form, qualities and pastimes, which are superior to all these other avatars, so similarly, the devotees of Krishna of Vrindavan, they also have superior characteristics, superior relationships. They have very intimate relationships with the Supreme Lord. In fact, they don't think also of him as a Supreme Lord. They treat him as a family member. Okay, so as a lover, as a friend, as a child, like that. And that is the reason Krishna's form is actually the most superior form, and the devotees worshipping that form, they are also more superior. That is the reason gopis of Krishna in Vrindavan, they are the most exalted amongst all the devotees. Okay, so there is no comparison with the gopis of Vrindavan. So did you get this point?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. So obviously, Krishna wants us, he is willing to give us the highest thing. And it is up to us to decide whether we want that worship or not. Okay. So, yeah. So this is the most confidential knowledge because it is the most highest revelation. Okay. Any other question or comment on this? Okay. Next verse.
Sarva dharma parityajya mam ekam saranam vrata aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayami ma sishya. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Super Soul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many different types of religion. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions. For the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. If there is doubt, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need to strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa 11.676, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshishyati Visvaso Gopsyarve Varanam Tatha Atma Nikseta Karpani Sad Vidhati Dakti. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order. But if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfect state of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes free from all contaminations of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders onto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. But simple surrender onto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the super soul teacher, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal teacher of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most powerful transcendent, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of the knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empirics, philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular Mahasiddha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender onto Krishna, but such worry is useless.
Extremely important verse from the 18th chapter, the essence of Bhagavad Gita also, that we should abandon everything which is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, and we have to accept whatever it is favorable to Krishna consciousness. So this principle is always the higher cause, the higher principle which one has to always follow and sacrifice all other lower dharmas, lower religions and lower so-called right and wrong. Because Krishna is the ultimate controller and he is the giver of the results. So when Krishna is pleased, then obviously we get a good result, and when he is displeased, we get a bad result. Right? So it's a simple principle. Any question on this? So Krishna is explaining so many types of dharmas, and then finally he's telling Arjuna that give up all these dharmas. And then finally the ultimate dharma is to surrender to me. So this is the highest dharma, topmost dharma. And if you are not able to do that, then you follow other lower dharmas. Okay, but it is more time consuming and it will also not lead one to back to God or liberation. So one may attain Sahaja Mukti or impersonal liberation, but then again one has to come back. One has to fall down from that position. So Krishna consciousness or going back to God is actually the ultimate goal of all paths. One can never come back to the material world. Okay, so is this clear? I mean, I hope that everyone understands that surrendering to Krishna is the highest form of religion, highest form of dharma. Okay. And so that means that, you know, if Krishna or the representative of Krishna, if they ask us to do certain activities, whether we think it is right or wrong, whether we think it should be done in this way or not, we should not be attached to our own conceptions, but we should follow instructions of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master is giving us option to do it in our own way, to put efforts in our own way, then we can use intelligence and we can do it. But when if the spiritual master wants it in a certain way, then it has to be done in that way. Okay. All right. Next. Jigna Mataji.
Verse 67. Idanti napastaya sadachana na chasu sutravi vachyam na cha mama yogyasya yati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Sattva. Persons who have not understood the austerity of the religious process, who have never attempted devotional service in just accomplishment, who have not attended pure devotees, especially those who are conscious of Krishna only as a historical personality or who are envious of the greatness of Krishna, should not be told this most confidential part of knowledge. It is, however, sometimes found that even the monarch persons who are envious of Krishna, worshipping Krishna in a different way, take to the profession of explaining the Bhagavad Gita in a different way to make business. But anyone who desires actually to understand Krishna must have his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is not understandable to those who are sensuous. Even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the discipline enjoyed in the Vedic scripture, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee to Krishna but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he also cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who are in Krishna because he has explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is supreme and that nothing is above him or equal to him. That there are many persons who are envious of Krishna, such persons are not so told of the Bhagavad Gita, but they cannot understand. There is no possibility of faithless persons understanding the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. Without understanding Krishna from the authority of the pure devotee, one should not try to comment on the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So there is one invention from the Shastra and from the Padma Purana. 10 offenses to the holy name, and one of the offenses to preach to faithless person. So here also a similar standard is being mentioned by Krishna that one should not share this with ones who are not interested, who have no faith, or who are envious of them, of Krishna or the devotees. Okay, so but you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was exceptionally merciful, and he has, you know, broken that barrier, and he has easily and freely distributed Krishna Prem to everyone without any background or any kind of requirements. Okay, so that is actually the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And obviously, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did not give mercy to those who offended devotees. So again, you know, the thing is that one should not try to preach to someone who is offensive in nature. Okay? Yeah, so but see, the mercy can be given in different forms. One will be able to accept prasadam of the Lord. And if someone is really very envious, they might not even want to accept prasad. So then there are different ways to preach to a person. One can just give a book to someone, and we don't have to even preach. The book will do the thing, right? So there are instances, there are cases where offensive people have become devotees also. You know, so like, you know, there were devotees on Sankirtan distributing books, and a person was getting very disturbed by that. So he went away and he started beating one devotee. And then after that, somehow, you know, he got a book after some time, and he read the book, and then he became a devotee. He went to the devotee whom he physically abused. He went to him and he apologized and he begged forgiveness. So anything is possible in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And so one should always try to connect each and every living entity to the process of Krishna consciousness through some way and means. But how they react in a certain situation, that also we should understand. Okay, and we should not give them that facility or opportunity where they will become offensive in their mentality. Okay, so we should try to connect each and everyone, but we should also know their mental status. Okay, so any comment on this? Okay, next. Yeah, idam paramam goyam madbhakteshwa अभिदास्यति भक्तिमाहि परम कृत्वा माम एवश्यति असंशय. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, your devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end you will come back to me. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed among the devotees only, but those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is, should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. The subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. So, this verse can actually mean that, generally the preaching is done to the devotees. Or you say that whoever is favorable to Krishna, only to those kind of people we actually share this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Not to others. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Mahaprabhu has given chance to everyone, being the most merciful incarnation. So there is no barrier of any sort of requirement in this. It's just that one has to be, generally people are, they become offensive, or probably they are offensive because of certain past conditions or background, because of certain reasons. Like, for example, if they hear something negative about a devotee, or they hear negative about ISKCON, or they, in the background, they are hearing certain things about ISKCON or some devotees, and that is giving some sort of not negative impression to them. Or because of their past karmas, they have atheistic kind of mentality. So actually speaking, no one is really bad. Everyone is good, because the soul is never affected by any bad qualities, right? We know that. So everyone is actually pure soul. It's just a covering, just because of the covering that they have, for timing they behave like that. So that is the reason we always try to give Krishna consciousness to everyone, irrespective of their backgrounds or their offensive mentalities also. But sometimes you have to be careful, if they get critical about certain things, because, see, we cannot force them, and if they don't like it, then obviously we cannot do anything. But at the same time, we can keep praying for them that, they take up to Krishna consciousness later, when the time comes. And this is true for all the devotees, I think. Krishna consciousness happened at a particular point of time in their life. It's not that, most of the devotees, it is like that. But some of the devotees may be very fortunate to take birth in Vaishnava family, and so they have the samskara right from the beginning. But for many others, it is like, we have taken to this path at a certain point of time. Jesus said that hate the sin, not the sinner. So the same principle. Actually, offenses or this kind of mentality is committed because of a person's frustration, because of their dissatisfaction in life, or because of their passionate nature. So it is because it's mainly coming because of their past conditioning. And so we can overlook that. Okay. And so we can give Krishna consciousness to everyone, but unfortunately the problem is that we are limited. Okay. So what happens is, ultimately we have to find those who are more favorable to Krishna consciousness, and those who will take easily, they will accept it. And so we give more time to them. So automatically this option is filtered out, that those who are atheistic kind of people, we try them by accident or by chance. We don't waste time on them. Okay. Whenever they, we obviously pray for them, but we don't want to waste our time, because our time is limited and we are also limited. So whoever shows more inclination towards Krishna, we try to cultivate them first and spend more time on those kind of people. Okay. A real devotee, a Kamadikari, a very advanced Vaishnav, he is praying for the benefit of all the living entities in the universe. Right? So this Krishna consciousness the Lord says that no one is more dear to me. Okay, and he will come back to me. So that will stay straight in the next verse. Okay, and so basically the point is that every devotee should become a preacher, because preachers are the most favorite and dearest to the Lord. Okay, so they attain special mercy of the Lord. Okay, any question on this? Okay, next.
There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Then read the next verse also.
Yeah, you can continue.
Yeah, okay. Text 70. Adhyesyate chaya imam dharmyam samvadam avadyo jnana yajena tinaha istasyam isina mati. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of our worship or of all worships me by his intelligence. Next verse.
Yeah, next. Yeah.
Text 71. Sadhavan anasyasya vinyad apiyo nara sopi mukta subhal lokan prapnudyat punya karmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. And in that case, not all the students are accepted to be devotees. Why does such person hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such person hears from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions. And after that, attain to the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activity. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Generally, those who are free from sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punya karmanam is very significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like the Ashwamedha Yajna mentioned in the Vedic literature. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the Polchar or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord and he has a special planet which is called the Polar Star.
Yeah, so these devotees who are preaching, they are the most dear to the Lord, right? That is what is mentioned here. No one is more dear to me than those who preach. And those who listen with faith without envy, they also attain pious results. Okay, now, so, you know, as I discussed earlier, that pure devotee always wants to benefit all the living entities, but because the pure devotees, they are not unlimited. They only cater to some people who are more pious or more favorable towards Krishna. Okay. But overall, a devotee's heart is always compassionate and a preacher is very dear to the Lord. So one should always preach. So there are two types of preaching. One is preaching to devotees. One is preaching to non-devotees. And Prabhupada says that preaching to devotees is more important than preaching to non-devotees. Obviously, this is also a contextual thing in the sense that, so when you make devotees, but what is the meaning of making devotees? Making devotees means to cultivate them, to take them to advanced level of Krishna consciousness, to enhance their Krishna consciousness, and to enhance their bhakti. So that inspiration and facilitation is done by the devotees who are preaching to these devotees. Okay. And so that is more important, because if you just keep making devotees but do not take care of them, do not provide knowledge, do not connect them to Krishna, do not try to inspire them, do not inspire them to advance in Krishna consciousness, then what is the use of making them Kanishta devotees? Right? So the idea is that they should not remain Kanishta forever. They should proceed from Kanishta to Madhyama to Uttama. And that is the reason preaching to these devotees is basically like maintaining them. And maintaining is actually very tough, as we know, than compared to creating and destroying. So one can easily create someone or create something, and one can also easily destroy something. But to maintain, that is the toughest thing. So to cultivate and maintain devotees so that they can keep advancing their Krishna consciousness is actually the toughest part. And that is that is done through the help of the preachers, the devotees who are preaching to these devotees. Okay. And so obviously, it is very important. It is probably more important than just cultivating devotees. But obviously, to cultivate new devotees is also very important, because if you don't cultivate only new people, then how can you also take them further? So in that sense, it becomes more important, okay, to make new devotees. But after making new devotees, what is now more important also, so let me quote one particular letter of Prabhupada where he mentions that now we have got many devotees in our movement. So now we should actually stop cultivating new devotees, but we should thoroughly train all these devotees so then he gives the example and he compares it to the boiling of milk. So he says that if you keep adding water in the milk just to increase the quantity, then what will happen? The entire milk will spoil. It will become, the taste will go away, right? The quality will be hampered. And so, but if you do not add water in the milk, and if you just boil the milk for a good amount of time, then what will happen? The milk will be very tasty, right? So the idea is that once you have cultivated some new devotees, you have to train them very thoroughly. Okay, and that is a part of a preaching process also. So preaching is not just meant for new devotees, it is also meant for those who are trying to advance in their spiritual lives. So these both kind of preachers, they are very dear to Krishna. So all the devotees should become preachers. Okay, and they should not stick just to their own selves, not just to their own sadhana, but they should try to help out, to preach this message to others. And for them, for that to happen, obviously the devotee has to get trained. Every devotee must get trained. Then only they can train others. Okay, so any comment or question? Okay, next.
Verse number 72. Kachideta sutam patha vayeka grain ketasa kachidanyan sammoha pranasaste tananjaya. O son of patha, Sutta, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Purpose. The Lord was acting as a spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain and point, or the whole Bhagavad Gita is so required. Actually, anyone who hears Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master like Krishna or his representative will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary book written by the poet of fiction writer. It is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person fortunate enough to hear his teachings from Krishna or from his bona fide spiritual representative is sure to become a liberated person and get out of the darkness of his ignorance.
Yeah, so So it is very important for a teacher, a guide or a spiritual master to actually know whether the disciple has understood or not. And so following the same footsteps, you know, I would also like to ask all the devotees in our group, because we are just about to finish the Bhagavad Gita. I would like to make sure that each and every devotee has understood the basic concept. So actually what we'll do is, after I come back, which will be on 7th of August, we'll have one more session, a concluding session, where we will actually discuss about, every devotee must share something, what they have understood from Bhagavad Gita, what chapters, and you know, whether they have any doubts still remaining, you know, and that way we can actually, I will also understand if all of you have understood the Bhagavad Gita properly, or you know, if there are still any doubts to clear. So you know, the Lord, you know, the Prabhupada writes that if not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point, or the whole Bhagavad Gita is so required. So I am willing to, you know, just following the footsteps of that, I'm willing to re-explain any point, but I cannot assure of the entire Bhagavad Gita as of now. Why? Because, you know, it is quite simple that, you know, when we are doing other classes, like we have done Nectar Devotion, we have done Nectar Instruction, we have done CC Adi Gita also, and currently we are doing question answer sessions on Monday. And so we discussed, whatever is, you know, whatever we're discussing, it's everything is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and, you know, the literature given by the Goswami. So we are basically reiterating the same things again and again in all our classes. Okay? So, so we'll take, you know, one session after this class, and where all devotees can actually share their thoughts, understandings about Bhagavad Gita, and clarification on certain points, and you know, doubts like that. Okay, so is that okay, like, for everyone?
Probably on 7th of August.
No. I am visiting. I'm going to Toronto on Tuesday, and I'll come back on 7th August.
Okay.
So we will have the class.
I might not be able to attend on 7th of August because I'm going to Vrindavan for. No, 7th of August. Okay. Yeah, I'll attend. Sorry.
No, I'm not saying we'll be having on 7th August. 7th August, I will come back. And then we'll have that on 10th or 11th August, which is Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, okay, no problem. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Right, okay. So, I'm not sure if Jigna Mataji, will you be there that time? You and Prabhupada will be there?
Prabhupada, I will be there. I'm not sure, Prabhupada. Prabhupada won't be there.
Okay. So we'll see, you know, how it goes. But this I would like to at least to know this one concluding session we can have. Okay. So any question or comment?
No.
Okay, next verse. Okay, who read this verse?
Actually, I read. You want me to read again?
No. Oh, yeah, you read. No, so I will read. Arjuna, watch. Nastha moha smriti labdhat tat prasadan maya uchyate stitosmi data sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, one fallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions. The conscientious position of a living entity presented by Arjuna is that one has to act according to the order of Supreme Lord in the mind for self-discipline. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of the living entity is that of eternal servant of Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature but in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes a liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is to be the servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lust and desires. Yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. That is called intuition. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last layer of Maya, trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. The living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God, he is so unintelligent. He is so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? Thus, he does not consider. So that is the last layer of illusion. Actually, to become free from illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Person of Godhead, and agree to act according to his order. The word moha is very important. In this verse, moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is understanding that every living being is eternally servitor of Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, then that he is the master of this material world, or he wants to lord it over the material nature, that is illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of the pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. Conditioned soul, illusion by the external energy of the matter, does not know the Supreme Lord is the master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotee. He is the friend of everyone and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of his material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time and he is full of all opulences and all potencies. The Supreme Person of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita to understand Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he is naturally surrendered to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to the fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, so finally Arjuna is agreeing, his doubts and illusions are completely destroyed. Okay? Any comment or question? Next.
Text 74, Sanjaya Vasa, Ityaha Vasudevasya Parthasya Sa Mahatmana Samvadam Mama Saur Samadhuta Romaharshanam. Sanjaya said that have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary Sanjaya, what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the grace of his spiritual master Vyasa. He does explain the theme of the battlefield. The conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would not take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjaya realized this, and he, as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to Dhritarashtra. Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory. Next
question. Yeah. Okay. Next. Yeah, Jinnah Mataji.
Verse 75. Vyasa Prasada Chitra Chitravana Etad Huyam Aham Param Yogam Yogeshwara Krishna Shaksat kathayatah swayam.
By the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard this confidential talk directly from Master of All Mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. But Vyasa was a spiritual master of Sanjaya, and the Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyasa's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of spiritual master. The spiritual master is a transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still depressed. This is the mystery of the disciple acceptance. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear the Bhagavad Gita directly, as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all user systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto Krishna. One who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last verse of the 6th chapter, Yogi Nam Apisargesham. Narada is a disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyasa. Therefore, Vyasa is as good as a expert. Comes in the disciple of succession. And Sanjay is the direct disciple of Vyasa. Therefore, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjay's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciple of succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding of Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga are explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. It is to be understood, however, that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjay was able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from the Krishna via bona fide speaking master like Vyasa. The speaking master is a representative of also. Therefore, according to Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct a ceremony called Vyasa Puja. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so this is the utmost importance of the spiritual master. So if one hears from the spiritual master, then one is actually directly hearing from Krishna. If the spiritual master is bona fide. And so generally the Vyasa Puja is celebrated time of evidence of Vyasadeva, but actually because the spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva, so the real Vyasa Puja is celebrated during the appearance of the spiritual master. And the Prabhupada said that the impersonalists, they worship the Vyasadeva, they celebrate Vyasa Puja during the appearance of Vyasadeva, but we worship the Vyasa Puja ceremony at the time of the appearance of the spiritual master. Okay, so the devotees are they celebrate during the appearance of their particular guru. Okay, so any comment or question? Next. Yeah. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshav arjuna vayo punyam vishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being filled at every moment. The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous and he cannot forget such talks. This is a transcendental position of spiritual life. In other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source directly from Krishna attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time but every moment. Yeah. So here Prabhupada is actually sharing his own experience and bliss of Krishna consciousness. Right? Okay. So spiritual life is very blissful, which is very thrilling actually at every moment. Next.
Page 77. Samarja Rupam Adi Adhutam Hare
विस्मयोमि महाराजन विस्यामि च पुनः पुनः. Okay, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. It appears that Sanjaya, also by the grace of Vyasa, could see the universal form Krishna exhibited to Arjuna. It is of course said that Lord Krishna exhibited such a form before. It was exhibited to Arjuna only, yet some great devotees could also see the universal form of Krishna when it was shown to Arjuna, and Vyasa was one of them. He is one of the great devotees of the Lord, and he is considered to be a powerful incarnation of Krishna. Vyasa disclosed this to his disciple Sanjaya, who remembered that wonderful form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna and enjoyed it repeatedly. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so a very special universal form which is revealed to Arjuna. Different types of universal forms are there. The Lord manifests different universal forms in different places. So this was the best one. Okay. So the next, last one.
Okay, verse 78. Yatra yogi saha krishna yatra patho dhanutaraha tatra sri vijaya yoguti huvamiti mati nama. Whenever there is a Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and mortality. That is my opinion. Perfect. The Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra. He was hopeful of victory of his sons assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scenes on the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, "You are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all the caution." It safely confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not accept victory for his side. Victory was fighting for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of the another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences and renunciation is one of them. There are many instances of this renunciation, for Krishna is also the master of renunciation. The fight was actually between Duryodhana and Yudhishthira. Arjuna was fighting on the behalf of his elder brother, Yudhishthira. Because Krishna and Arjuna were on the side of Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira's victory was attained. The battle was fated who would rule the world, and Sanjaya predicted that the power will be transferred to Yudhishthira. It was also predicted here that Yudhishthira, after gaining victory in this battle, would flourish more and more because not only was he righteous and pious, but he was also strict moralist. He never spoke a lie during his life. There are many lessons in persons who take the Gita to be a discussion of the topic between two friends in a battlefield. But such a book cannot be scripture. Some may protest that Krishna incited Arjuna to fight, which is immoral, but the reality of the situation is clearly described. Bhagavad Gita is the supreme instruction in the morality. The supreme instruction of morality is taken in the 9th chapter, in the 34th verse. Man mana bhava madhastaha, one must become devotee of Krishna, and the essence of all religion is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarva dharma nam parityaja, mama ekam sarva nam dhajat. The instruction of Bhagavad Gita constitutes the supreme process of religion and of mortality. The other process may be purifying and may lead to this process, but the last instruction of the Gita is the last word in all morality and religion. Surrender unto Krishna, this is the verdict of the 18th chapter. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles, according to the order of social life and according to different sources of religion, may be confidential path of knowledge. But although the rituals of the religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. And surrender unto Krishna and devotional service and Sankirtan consciousness is the most confidential instruction. This is the essence of the 18th chapter. Another feature of Bhagavad Gita is that the actual truth is the supreme person of the Godhead Krishna. The truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the supreme personality of the Godhead Krishna. Perfect knowledge of the actual truth means perfect knowledge of Krishna. If one understands Krishna, then all the departments of knowledge are part and parcel, that is understanding.
Krishna is transcendental, for he is only situated in his eternal potency, eternal internal potency. The living entities are manifested of his energy and are divided into two classes, eternally conditioned and eternally liberated. Such living entities are innumerable and they are considered fundamental parts of Krishna. Material energy is manifested into 24 divisions. The creation is affected by eternal time and it is created and dissolved by external energy. This manifestation of cosmic world repeatedly becomes visible and invisible. In Bhagavad Gita, five principles of this matter have been discussed. The Supreme Personality of God, material nature, the living entity, eternal time, and all kinds of activity. All is dependent on the Supreme Personality of the Godhead Krishna. All conceptions of the Absolute Truth, impersonal Brahman, Vipulas, Paramatma, and any other transcendental conception exist within the category of the understanding the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Although superficially the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from Supreme, but the Supreme is always different from everything. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and essence. The system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of Absolute Truth. The living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus, Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entity to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material energy or with spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because it belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a partake of independence. By proper use of that independence, he becomes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus, he attains his normal condition in place of being supremacy. Thus, we then circle to the 18th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of its conclusion, the perfection of the renunciation.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to thank all the devotees for being a part of this wonderful journey. So many of the devotees actually, they started in the beginning, but they were not able to connect. And then after some time, they again connected back. And then the devotees who joined later, and they have been steady in their continuance. And there have been devotees right from the beginning. They are here, you know, till the end. I think probably Jigna Mata is the one who is, Jigna Matari and Prabhuji, they were the ones, I think you were there right from the beginning, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Wonderful. Yeah, so it's a, so they have shown their commitment very nicely. I think each and every class, almost each and every class they have attended, and you know, they have been very regular and dedicated, you know, also for responding to the group messages and all that. So, and so there are other devotees also who are not present today, but many of them, they have shown their dedication and commitment for the class. And so because of the help and effort of each and every one of you, we have been able to finish the Bhagavad Gita. I think it took 2 years to finish Bhagavad Gita. We started in, I think, June. So just like, yeah. So it is like almost two years. You know, we started in June, first week, somewhere around that time. And so it's a wonderful journey with all of you. And I thank each and every devotee who has participated in this class, you know, giving me the service opportunity. So, yeah, it's a very great experience for me. And probably, you know, we may continue with some other book next time. But that I'm not sure right now. But still, you know, all of the devotees who had attended, or who, you know, who attended later also, so because of them, it was a very enlivening experience. And so I hope and wish and pray that whatever we have discussed, you know, devotees are able to remember, relish, implement in their Krishna consciousness, remember, you know, what they have learned, understood the teachings, discussions, and I think, you know, it was a great, so I would say it as a discussion because, you know, like, we all were sharing, commenting, asking questions, discussing and all that. And so it was a wonderful platform for all the devotees to associate together. So I'm very thankful to each and every one of you. And, you know, if there are any mistakes, offenses from my end, then kindly forgive for the same. But I'm, you know, I think I've tried my best to follow certain rules and regulations myself. And that way also inspire the devotees to follow the same so that we can actually make this happen on a regular basis, right? Otherwise, what happens is to attend the online classes, it's very difficult to make it regular. Like, it's extremely difficult, especially for Grihastha devotees. So, so I've been, you know, sometimes probably I've been rough and tough, and so, you know, kindly forgive me for that. You know, when we do some service like this, when we are in certain position, then certain things have to be done, you know, just to order to maintain the regularity, and then, you know, to inspire the devotees to dedicate themselves, to commit themselves to a particular goal. Okay, so we have to do it. Otherwise, you all are like, you know, senior devotees, you know, in terms of Krishna consciousness, in terms of age, in terms of many things. So, you know, I don't deserve any, I don't deserve to correct any one of you or to actually be a little bit rough on you. But that was just, you know, it's a matter of service. So kindly think in that way, in that direction. And, you know, if you have felt that, you know, if I have offended someone, then I take the dust of that devotee and, for, you know, also ask for forgiveness from the devotees. And so they can definitely, you know, like, share their thoughts to me, you know, what they felt about it. But, yeah, but the strictness has to be maintained, you know, in whatever we are doing. So that is the only reason. And it is, it's basically just because of the responsibility which comes along with the service. So there are certain devotees in you know, taking some position, and so they have to act accordingly. But internally, you know, like, we always try to cultivate the mood of servant of servant of servant. Okay, so, so yeah, so whenever you need, you know, my help, suggestion, or whatever it is, then I'm available, and you can contact me. And yeah, it will be also very helpful, you know, if the devotees, they think they have got some important lessons, they have learned something from this class, then yeah, it will be nice if they can help in during the marathon distribution, you know, December, coming December. So that will be a wonderful help. Yeah, so I just request everyone, if they can somehow, they can just help in some way. And yeah, that's the only thing, you know. So I hope that you all have got a decent experience in this class. But, you know, we'll have a concluding session after I come back. So that time, I think all of you can share your thoughts and understanding. Okay, any devotee would like to comment, or you'd like to share something?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Actually, all glories to your service and your dedication, Prabhuji. We are very lazy, but you just try to keep us on track, Prabhuji. So we are a little bit disciplined just because of you. So actually, it's your, you know, like, dedication to serve all of us, Prabhuji. So we are grateful to your services, Prabhuji. And we are very grateful for whatever spiritual, like, whatever you helped us a little bit in advancement of the spiritual life, Prabhuji. We are so fallen that it will take, like, long time to reach to even up to certain level.
we cannot compare ourselves to your level anyway, but it is your service attitude, Prabhuji. We have no words to express our gratitude. All glories to your service and service. Thank you very much for your compassion, your everything. Hare Krishna.
Well, actually, yeah, I mean, whatever you have mentioned, I certainly don't deserve, you know, because like you all are very humble devotees, and I mean, obviously, you know, my desire was to serve the devotees, you know, that is the main thing, and you know, please don't use words like, you know, not compared to you, and these are all like very high words. I certainly don't deserve that. I mean, you know, there is no question of comparison and all that, because I don't know what to say about this, because, you know, just by knowledge, or, you know, it does not mean that someone is superior or inferior. But also, you know, like, Krishna knows everything, you know, whatever answers I have. And but, you know, it's just a, can say that it's a spiritual sense gratification that is driving us, every one of us, to take each other's association, and to, you know, because we are all like similar minded, you know, to understand and read the Shastra and to share our realization. So this is very important. But please note that, you know, I am much, much fallen than all of you. And it is your humility, you know, that you all praise me like that, but I am far away from that. So, I am driven because, you know, the devotees like you drive me, you know, like, because of the enthusiasm that you all have. Because of that only I am able to become more enthusiastic and share and, you know, associate with all of you. So, you know, anyways, you know, thank you. So, you know, for devotees for joining, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue after I come back. Tanvi, you want to say something, or like, is that fine?
I have to say something. Thank you so much for devoting your time, energy, and your service. Like, I'm such a fallen soul, and I'm a Kanishka, and I didn't know anything, how to go about it. So you helped me so much, and you took time, you took effort to, like, keep an eye on me, keep a check on me, that whether I'm progressing or not, whether I'm following the Nishka and everything. So I'm really grateful. And even I'm so little in front of you that I don't even have words to thank you enough. But I just want to say that Krishna sees everything, and he is really grateful to you that you have seen a Kanishka like me, and I feel so great. Thank you so much.
No. You should not say like that. In fact, you know, none of you are Kanishka. In fact, all very sincere devotees. And, you know, especially, see, one thing I really appreciate about you, and which is something very unique about you, is that in the beginning you had shown, like, amazing dedication. But because of some external circumstances, you are not able to attend on a regular basis. So after disconnecting for some time, you again came back. And that is actually the, you know, most wonderful thing, because normally devotees are generally, they are, you know, they, because of their ego and all that, you know, they will leave it. Like, they are not bothered. But, so, you know, I very much appreciate your humble attitude, and your, you know, dedication to learn Bhagavad Gita in spite of all these things happening, and again continue. And so this continuing, you know, again with a humble attitude, accepting, you know, whatever the authorities decide, that is actually the real thing. Okay, so that's the reason, you know, we see that in the 18th chapter, mostly it is, you know, Prabhupada is talking about spiritual master, surrender to spiritual master, you know, being submissive to the authority and all that. So we see that this is actually the ultimate goal, that we want to submit ourselves to the authorities, and we want to accept it, whatever they, you know, say. And that is really great about you, you know? So I really appreciate that a lot. So see, that, you know, that's the reason, you know, I did not think about connecting you again, you know, like, you know, when you just approached me for the second time and, you know, you were very eager and you wanted to really join. You know, I saw that eagerness and then I said, okay, join back. So, yeah. So this is something which I am also inspired and I am also trying to learn from all of you. Yeah, so.
And probably you only made me humble because you, in the previous lecture, you used to say like, you said devotee has to be humble, humble. So I was like, how to be humble, how to be humble? Then I left all my ego and whatever I had in my mind. Like, seriously. And not in your case. In generally, also, I became very calm and peaceful because I'm a very aggressive person by nature. But now I became a little stable in my life because of you only, because of your lecture. From since NOD and till now, till BG, I was like, I'm so grateful for your service because I don't as anything, you know, because I don't know anything. I'm such a lower person at a lower state, but you really helped me a lot in my spiritual progress. It's all because of you. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's the credit goes to our Gurujan, you know. Gurus have taught us, and I think, you know, so it is basically, you know, Prabhupada is the one who is actually teaching us these things, and through my Guru Maharaj, I am learning these things, and so it's a parampara. So there is, you know, the credit obviously goes to them only. Everything, we are just stealing the knowledge, you know, like we are just trying to get the knowledge from others, but ultimately nothing is mine, right? So they are actually the ones, because of their mercy, we are all like trying to do something to please them. Right. Yeah. So, all right. Anyways, so it was a wonderful journey and association with all of you, and I hopefully will like to connect, you know, with the concluding session also. Okay. So, thank you, devotees, for joining. Hare Krishna and Dhanvat Pranam.
Dhanvat Pranam.
Dhanvat Pranam.